Como belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto, belle faste già, sotto celle de Roma.
Welcome to another episode of Italian American Life with Frankie D, the very first Italian American podcast from 2013. And this is a special episode because it is our 150th episode. And I want to thank my guests for being a part of that 150th episode. Simone, who is an international escape artist and master of ritual performance. Simone, welcome to the show and thank you for being this for this special episode.
Thank you very much. Timing in my job is the most important thing. So I'm very happy that I'm here on the right perfect time.
I can only imagine. Yes. So tell us, first and foremost, where were you born? I know you're born in Italy, but where?
Yes, I was born in Milan city. And I raised there. I left Italy when I was 17, more or less, almost 18. So I started to travel, which is a great passion of mine. And thanks also for the study that I did. I moved before to Europe, some different countries, then to Asia. And because of my job, also Asia and then United States.
Wow.
So, yeah, I left Italy many years ago. But when I can, when I have time, when there are the possibility, I always come back with a lot of pleasure.
Okay, no, that's great. Is the family always just been from Milano?
Yes, actually, my mom is from Sicily, so nearby Syracuse, and my father is from Milan. So I also had the opportunity to travel in Italy because of family, and there were two different realities that I love both. They are completely different.
Yeah, yes, they are from my experience as well. Very different, but both equally beautiful places and great people. So
yes,
very fortunate that you had the experience of both the top of the country and the bottom of the country.
Yeah, somehow it's well that your formative part comes from your parents first of all and your family. So I saw two different realities, two different ways of living, and also two different kind of persons and personalities. And that was important because probably was the first step to understand that the world is not flat. The people are not all the same. And then also could be one of the reasons why I was so curious to know the rest of the world.
Very true. Very true. My mother is also Sicilian. So
from where?
Small town right outside of Cefalù.
Okay. Cefalù.
Yeah. Beautiful place. Yeah.
It is indeed.
Definitely. You're an Italian born, Italian raised. How do you get into this industry? Was this something you had family in it? Did you make friends that were in it? How did you get into this?
Well, first of all, I abandoned my name, Simone, very soon. So now I work on stage with a name, with the heteronym of Lord Neil. And there are different passions. The first of all comes from history, so that's why the name Lord Neil Nihil, which is nothing. As a writer, I used to name myself Lord Nobody, but then I realized that nobody translated in English, it could be used not in a nice way. And my goal was to be, you know, about the poem Homer, so the Greek ancient poet, Ulysses, when he was talking with Polyphemo before he blinds him. He said, "Who are you? Who are you? I'm nobody. I'm nobody." So when Polyphemo talks to his father, Poseidon, he didn't know who he was and then cannot be punished. So the idea comes from there. And the Lord Nobody and then Lord Nihil, which comes from the Latin nihil, is the idea of the most important of nobodies. So the first of the last. The idea is that I'm just a person. I'm just a common person who is very curious, who loves to study, who loves the challenges, And then I always said, if I achieve, if I make it until, if I made it to come here, that means that everybody can if they want to. This is why I'm here. So no heritage, no fans of magic escaping in the family. I just started from extreme sports. Then I moved to combat sports. I used to be a professional fighter. I'm a former fighter of K1 and kickboxing. Then I moved to Asia, fighting Sanshou, which is a sort of full contact, Chinese full contact. And at the same time, I was studying at university, so I can make a living, find some easy job, some fights to pay the studies. And then when I finished my university in France, I also decided to embrace illusionism. So first we start with a deck of cards, then you decide to buy something bigger, and then you say, oh, but there is also the escape art in the world of illusionism. So I put extreme sports and the illusionism together. Escape artists, I thought it was the right choice, and it was so far.
And how old were you when you really like thought about being an escape artist?
Well, during university, which means that I was the second year, I would say 21. So yeah, I started before because of when you are at school, you do any kind of job. So from the birthday party to any events, any gig. And I realized that as a magician, it was good because you can make a little bit more money than stay out of the door of any nightclub for during the night and risking that they shoot you. So I started studying, I started from the books, like everything, every art. I realized there was something that was fitting very well for me. And then you also find your own way in the escape, different acts that you can do with fire, with air, with water, whatever you choose. And then here
okay,
I am.
So you decide you want to do this, but like, how is there like a, is there a school for this, a training school? Do you go online and say, I want to be an escape artist? Like, how do you learn how to do this?
I wish there could be anything where you can learn from. You learn and you start, when you start, you do a lot of mistakes. That's the way. So the very first escape that I did in my life, I did, I was, actually I was in the center of Italy. So I was in the, during summertime with friends. And we decide, I decide to do an escape from a coffin underwater. So we built a coffin made by wood. And well, with a little bit of organization, we took a crane, we took sponsors. So it was a nice thing. The point is that I never did anything that like that before. So in chains, inside the coffin, go in the water. But I was too deep, and I didn't know at that time, or I didn't remember that as deeper as you are, as the pressure of the water is stronger. So I couldn't escape, and the water was coming in, and I escaped only for desperation, because I realized that was it, and the coffin wasn't made very well. And probably because of, you know, the last breath gave me the strength to break the wood. The water came inside, and then I survived. At the first moment was like after you run a marathon, you say, never again in my life. Then you think, okay, but somehow it was cool. Okay, I did a mistake, but it was cool. People like it because they didn't know what happened in the water. There were no camera. And everything started from that big mistake. So I try to make smaller mistake every single time until you make it well.
So how many years would you say it took of training, practice, maybe call it experiments, to like get where you were like feeling, yeah, I'm doing this, I can do this?
It definitely depends where you come from and what is your background. Sports and also school taught me to don't take any break, any pause. If you if you want to make it, then you have to be very specific and very careful in your choices, in your decision. For me, when I was a sportsman, there were no Saturday night, there were no 10 o'clock in the morning I woke up. It was always 8 in the morning, training or studying, and then go to university, come back, training again, and then go to sleep very early. So it wasn't, it isn't very much different, this kind of life that I do now from the life that I did before being an escape artist. You are very committed to what you do, so you choose very carefully what you do. And you try your best, which is not the best. It's the best that you can do.
Right, but correct me if I'm wrong, what you're doing now is very dangerous and could be like very, very bad consequences, correct?
Yes, Frank, but I have to tell you the truth. Every time I talk about danger, I have this idea about my father. My father worked in a factory for 43 years. Okay. He was just a worker, an employee. And he was working with heavy machines, that kind of machines that make different pieces for boats. So, you know, that kind of chain montage things. And his job was very dangerous because the machine he was working with, it could cut his hand anytime if he was distracted. And then there were also the press. At the end of the factory, with I don't know how many degrees, and again, if you are distracted or you think of something different, you could die. So this is my idea of danger. Here I am surrounded by professionals. My team, they are definitely the best, in my opinion. Everyone knows what to do every single moment. They are ready to intervene to give me the right suggestions. I have a fantastic manager. I'm not telling you because I am here and I have to say that. Otherwise, I wouldn't say he's a nice guy. So he takes care of everything I can't, which means that he tried to let me focus only on the show and take care of the other millions of things that there are around a show like this. And also the people that work for me, from the dancers to the stage hands to the technicians, they know exactly what to do. So I would say, yes, it's dangerous, but I am in the right environment. I train as much as I can to be ready. I sleep 7, 8 hours per night. I try to eat the right things. I am in the best condition to do what I do. If I don't feel that, I just skip it. Dying for a stupid thing is stupid. Have any injuries just because of lack of attention? It's very stupid. So an escape artist must think that he also has the responsibilities or the 40, 50 people that work with him. So I would never do something stupid. And then if you tell me, yeah, you cross the street and somebody with a car, yeah, but that is not a problem of an escape artist, the problem of everyone.
Understood. Good answer. Very good. Explain to me what is a ritual performance? I don't exactly know what that is.
You are going on stage and you have to do one of the 8 acts that now that you know that we brought our show in Broadway, Lorne Neal said the Seven Deadly Sins. We are at the stage 42. So I do 8 different escapes. Of course, there is a story. Of course, it's a show. It's not just an escape after another escape. It would be boring for me. I can imagine it could be boring also for the audience. Every single one of them, they are very difficult, they are very dangerous. So I have specific rituals before the challenge. And also during the challenge, I call it out. So if something goes wrong, what do you do? Okay, I go on this way. And again, that's also is going wrong. What do you do? Well, I have another solution. So my idea, my goal is to do a good show so people are gonna be entertained. Not scared, but if something happened, they don't have to notice how dangerous it was if it's not part of the show. Okay. So I'm going to do an escape from water. I'm trained to stay in the water as long as it's necessary, but maybe that night I have a headache, or my knee is hurting, or I had a fight with my wife. I don't know. I'm not in the best shape, in the best condition. Still, I have to do it. So this is what I mean, that I don't perform just an escape act. I perform the escape act every night in a different way. That's the beauty of the live show. But at the same time, my rituals help me to be focused on what I'm going to do, because every night the outcome could be different.
Are there many people that do this profession, say, United States or in the world?
Oh, there are great people that are doing this job, I would say, this art. Very few, very few. I would say that in the world, professional talking, so high level, we are talking of five, six, seven people, and every year a couple of them quit, and two more are getting in. And when I say quit, is that unfortunately sometimes you don't quit because you want to. And well, I can name one of them recently is an absolutely is a daredevil, is a great escape artist. I love him. And I never been in touch very much with him, even though I tried. Probably he was busy, so he didn't need my friendship. But I believe he was it is he is still one of the best, and I love his style. I love what he did. His name is Jonathan Goodwin. He had a bad accident a few years ago, so now he's suffering the consequences. But that kind of people that I would say they are great in this job, because they make it to another level, and there are great examples. But if you go back in time, you will find other great artists, great examples. Nowadays, very few people, and the one that I named, there are other couple names maybe they come up in my mind, but yeah, people still thinking of Houdini. It was 100 years ago. If you perform what Houdini used to perform 100 years ago, yeah, that's good. I mean, great respect. But 2025, we can do something different. You cannot make it better than him. I mean, he did already the ma it's like David Copperfield for magic, or Siegfried and Roy, or Doug Eggins. I don't know. You name it. There are great magicians. You can do what they do, but you cannot do better.
Are there any other Italians that do this?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know. I miss Italia. I miss so much Italia that I don't have a lot of information. If I find somebody very good, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I wish it would be great.
How do you come up with the escapes? Is this stuff that, like, you're at night, you're thinking about new escapes? Do you have maybe part of your team that says, "Hey, Simone, why don't you try this?" How did you come up?
It could come from everything. It could come from a conversation, from a movie, from a book. It could be an idea, and then you start to develop the idea, and you end up with something completely different. I'll give you a couple of examples. In the show that we're doing here in Broadway, we built a giant maze. And when I say giant, it means giant. So it's huge. The idea comes from my passion for Borges, Jorge Luis Borges. He's a writer. He was a writer, Argentinian, and he was obsessed by labyrinth, by maze, by this idea to be to lose yourself inside something, somewhere. Some of his novels are about, of course, labyrinth. One of the most famous is about the Minotaur, the famous half man, half bull, half man, half bull, lost in the labyrinth for the king of Crete. They used to eat seven women, seven men. So that story. And I was thinking, is it possible to escape from a maze, from a labyrinth? Is it possible to do it for real on stage? And that was the idea. Then you talk with engineers, designers, with creative people, and then you try to see if it's possible. Another idea, we have a cage. We have a cage, the ceiling is lowering. On the ceiling there are spikes, and I have to escape, of course, before the spikes crash me. The idea comes from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Do you remember the
yes,
part where she has to pull the leverage and she doesn't want to because there are bugs and the cockroaches? Okay, the idea comes from there. And I said, once again, can we move on stage from cinema an idea like that? And then we realize the cage that we use. Or the first act that we do is we call it the pendulum. So I have escaped from a coffin in the water. So I'm underwater. Just to remind my first escape that was almost wrong. And then when I escape from the water, there is a pendulum. There is a giant pendulum. He's almost so close that he could cut me in half. This comes from a novel, actually it's a short novel from Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum. And that idea really fascinated me. The guy in the novel, he's stuck there. He doesn't remember why he's there. And then the pendulum is coming always closer to him, always more closer. And again, I talk with my people and say, hey, is it possible to do it? And we realize, and this is the opening act of the show that we're doing here.
So you have this idea, you talk with your people, like you said, engineers, the creative people, everybody.
Friends, also friends.
Okay. From that point of the idea to actual reality that it's the set is built and you have practice and you know what you have to do. How long does that usually take? I mean, this isn't a week. This has got to be months and months and months, maybe years.
Yes, it's 3-5 years. That's a process.
Wow, that long.
You try, you fail. You try again, you fail. You try again, you fail. Then if you realize that doesn't work, like sometimes happen, you just waste your money, your time, and you have to be wise enough and say, okay, it doesn't work. If I do this, something will be wrong. Then you say, because it's difficult after 1 year and a half you are working on something, you invest money, you invest time, and then you have to admit it's not possible. It's difficult. It's like the idea, you don't want to let the idea dies, but you have to accept it. But 3 years, then everything is ready, and then you start training, practicing, which is the real dangerous part of this job. Because when you practice for the first time, when you try a new act, new props, there is no background. You cannot rely on anyone because it's something brand new. This is why I told you before, Houdini, it was amazing, but if I do what Houdini did, we know the outcomes. We know that, yeah, okay, it works, but hundreds of people could do it. You come up with an idea that it's yours. That means that you have to try by yourself. And this is when you got hurt.
Right. That's the difficulty, I think, the business aspect, that you'd have this idea and everybody agrees, but now you got to invest a lot of money and a lot of time. And what happens if, after building all this and all this money, it doesn't work? Like you said, it's just a waste of a lot of money and a lot of time. So there's a lot more to it than just their actual performance. I see that.
Yeah, I can tell you also that a good new act, a new escape act, is not good enough until the audience give their response. So they are the judges. They said it's good or not, because your eyes are not good enough. You know the process, you know the difficulties to make it happen. But they, of course, they don't care. They just see the performance. Then the prop, and then the music, and then the dancers, and then the director. So many people have to work on one single act to make it to make it successful for the audience. Again, people don't care if you if you do something that it took 5 years to put on stage, even if it was a month, they want to see a good performance. They deserve that. This is why they pay the ticket. If they want to hear the story, we're going to do a lecture. But then they want to just see that the act is crazy and it's great, it's amazing, and the entertainer. You have to be a good entertainer for them.
So before you tell me all about Seven Deadly Sins, tell me a little bit about your performance on America's Got Talent. How long ago was that?
That was 2018, 2019, 18, I guess. So it was 7 years ago, almost this period, because we finished the finals around August. So yeah, I would say 7 years if the math is with me. Yes, 7 years.
And what was this an act that you had done that you were familiar with?
Not at all, not at all. Then when I came for the first time in US with America's Got Talent, I came after a call. One of the producer, Renee Massé, she called me and she said, we saw something of your performance online and I think that they are good. Do you have something for us? And I thought this is a joke from a friend of mine, and I hung up. So then they call me back and say, no, we are, because she didn't say she was from America's Got Talent. She said, we are from an American TV program. She didn't give too much away. So then I realized, okay, she knows what she's talking about. So probably she's genuine. And they take the risk. So Frank, in that moment, my career could have a big stop. Probably I would have to stop working if the performances, especially the first one, wasn't good. So in that moment I put everything on stake and I said, okay, let's try this out. I take the risk. It could be the end of my career or it could be a new beginning, a new takeoff. And it was good. It was good. But trust me, when you see me in the video, and it seems that you start to act a little bit like you are anxious, you are under pressure. I was, but not for the performance itself, but because my life was on stake in that moment. I knew that if it was a failure, millions of people would have seen that, and your credibility as an escape artist gone in a second. And I cannot blame them. They give me America's Got Talent. Those people gave me the opportunity to be there. And they didn't ask me, they didn't force me to do it. So it's up to you. And I can tell you that an escape artist that does something's wrong is much more interesting than a good one. I'm sorry to say that. It's like at the circus. You see the trapezists, they are flying. Of course, you want to have success. You want to see a good performance. But unconsciously, maybe inside, deep in your heart, what if they fall down? Okay, it would be awful. I hope it was not too much, but I was there. I saw that accident. So it's like when you are fascinated by the evil part in the movie, you always like the villain. Okay, you are the villain, but I get it. See a magic show and see the magicians messed up. It's so funny. I can tell you, it's so funny. I can tell you some of my friends that mess up. It's better than a comedian. But with an escape artist, when they messed up, there's no second chance. So better to go on the right way. So the first performance was good. The second one was amazing. Then there is a long story about it. So I don't wanna bother you with too much details. But it was a great experience, and I have just, if I'm here today, it's also because thanks to them, because they gave me that opportunity. And what can I say more than thank you?
And now you're going to be on Broadway, right?
Yes,
Broadway.
yes.
That's amazing. I mean, that's incredible. So it's called Seven Deadly Sins. If I'm not mistaken, do you open tomorrow?
The day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow. Okay.
Yes, 21st.
Well, thank you for doing this interview because I feel bad because you should be like like meditating or sleeping or something better than talking to me.
No,
you got a big
no.
month ahead of you. It's actually like 5, 6 weeks of shows.
Yeah, but no, today is my day off. So I'm chilling, I'm
All right.
relaxing with my family, and it's a great pleasure to talk to you. So no pressure at all.
Well, thank you. So, seven deadly sins, is it like, is if I understand, would that be like seven different escape methods? Is that what that means?
Yes, plus the pendulum that I described before. So they're gonna be the first shocking act. And then all the other seven acts are related to the seven deadly sins. So we will build up this the story. We build up the full show in a way that, as I told you, it's not an escape after another escape after another escape. That would be again boring for me. I think also for people. But we gave a meaning to every single escape. So they are related with the seven deadly sins, greed, lust, gluttony, and well, for example, we will build up something that we call the hot surface. And the hot surface, we're gonna cook real food on top of the hot surface. The problem is that I am on top two of the hot surface, so the people can smell the food that is burning, and I hope that it's the only thing they will smell.
Definitely, definitely. Wow, this is very exciting. You're in New York, so I'm hoping that all those millions of Italian people in New York are going to come and see you and patronize you. I hope they know that you're an Italian, and even that would draw them more than the obvious that it's a great show and you're a very talented performer, so.
I would be more than happy to see all of them if they come to talk. Also, talk to me during the show. Say, "I'm Italian." After the show, I wanna say you thank you, and they say in Italian, it would be nice. No, everyone are more than welcome. But of course, it would be somehow a great thing, but also a sad thing because they have to see me here in Broadway in New York. And that's great, but I know that I would never have this opportunity in Italy, maybe later on, because now I'm Broadway, so thanks to this opportunity. But I wish that the star could have been done also in Europe, in Italy, and then move to US. But I have to tell you the truth, the opportunity that you have here, like Broadway, it's not possible in any other part of the world. So here there are the best. Here there is the best shows, the best. Okay, you just walk on the 42nd Street. You walk there, and what do you see? You see the beauty of the best musicals and shows. So yeah, I'm so glad and flattered to be here. And what could I say? Very deep in my heart, I wish there could be also a little Broadway in Italy one day, and
And
so
maybe there
also
will be. Who
broad.
knows, right?
Yes, yeah, that would be great. That would be
Maybe you can
absolutely
help
great.
form that after all this. Seriously, maybe
Okay.
you do great and you bring these ideas and these realities in New York, in the United States, to Milan or
Okay,
to
let's say
Rome.
this. Let's say this. If in Broadway everything will be okay and the people like the show and they wanna keep coming to see, I'm okay to don't come back to Italy.
Okay.
Rather prefer
Right.
to stay here.
Yeah. No, I know, but in the future, I meant like someday, who
I well, but even you know, even a month, even a few weeks, a little tour, that would be great. It's
knows?
like going back, see your roots, see also your family somehow. Somebody from your family can come to see the show. Here there are 7,000 kilometers, even though it's almost 7 years that now I'm always here around US. So that's now. It's my place. It's my
This is
house.
your
It's
time now. It is definitely. So the show
yes.
runs until the end of August, August 31st.
Yes, until August 31st. And as I told you, if they want that I stay, I stay.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, congratulations. The show's called Seven Deadly Sins on Broadway till August 31st. I highly advise, I wish I was going to be in New York. I'm in Chicago, unfortunately, but I highly advise going to see it.
Hey, take a flight. Take a flight.
You're right. You're
I'm
right.
looking forward to meeting you in person.
Oh,
If you
me
want,
too,
you
me
are
too.
more than welcome. I'm not kidding.
Thank you so much. Simone, best of luck. Best of luck. I mean it. You're
Thank you.
very, you're a fine example of an Italian. You handle yourself with a lot of class. You're a very international man. You're a studied man. You're a hard worker. I could tell. I'm very good judge of character. And I wish you all the best. Best of luck. And I hope you knock them dead on Broadway.
Frank, thank you very much. I appreciate it very much your words. That means a lot to me. And also, best of luck to you, to your podcast. And thank you for having me as a guest. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.